What the EFL? It's the Football League podcast back for 2026. Coming up, West Brom bricking it, so ditch Mason. And we check on those clubs making waves in the EFL at the end of 2025 and the start of the new year. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. And we are back for another year of Football League goodness. Hope you had a good break. We certainly did, but we are delighted to be back with you talking about all things Football League. It's me, Matt Davis Adams, and I'm joined as ever by my two stalwarts. Sam Parkins with us. How are you doing, Sam?
Very good. Still in a job of some description. Only person in football not to be sacked in the last 48 hours. Tremendous.
Don't speak too soon, mate. We're only one.
Lipping a tongue away.
One faux pas away from being cancelled, always.
Yeah, important to remember that. Adrian Clark's back with us too. Clarky, like Sam, you've been all over the Football League, all over the festive period. I, for one, am looking forward to not saying busy festive period for another 11 months.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, look, I saw my family for a bit at Christmas, but I spent a lot of it on the road. But going out watching EFL games is a joy. And yeah, I saw some good ones, and we'll get into the nuts and bolts of that over the next few minutes, I'm sure.
We surely will. Before we do, let me remind you of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. All right, as is tradition, we're going to start with the sacking. And West Bromwich Albion have parted ways with Ryan Mason, sacked by the Championship club following the defeat on Monday at Leicester City. That was their 10th in a row away from home. It leaves the Baggies 18th in the Championship, 10 points shy of the playoff places. James Morrison is going to take charge on an interim basis. Adrian, this is one of those that felt inevitable for a month or two.
It did, yeah. I think that the numbers that you just spelled out are the reason that he's got sacked. You know, it's a results business, and away from home, you've got to give the fans some belief that you can go to these places and get a result. And unfortunately, they weren't able to you know, change things, certainly not radically enough. Maybe the supporters were looking for a little bit more dynamism from Mason. I mean, the home form was relatively solid, wasn't it? But yeah, for a while now, Baggies fans have been moaning about Mason. They've been unconvinced. They've not particularly enjoyed the football. And I think rightly, they've expected a little bit better. So it's a real shame because, you know, he spent so long as a sort of an assistant coach, working at the highest level, gets his first big chance. It's a heck of a job, West Brom, a plum job, I would say. And he's gone, you know, he's gone within half a season. So I don't know where he goes from here. Maybe into a backroom staff somewhere, because he might well have been put off by it.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a Tottenham caretaker job coming up before too long, one would imagine. So he can have his 17th crack at that. Sam, I'll give you some of the runners and riders early on to replace him. See if any float your boat. Lee Carsley, Michael Carrick, Carlos Corberan, of course, Gary O'Neill, who I think is about to go to Strasbourg, and Michael Scubala amongst the runners and riders. Are they going to go down the more experienced route, having tried a rookie and it not worked?
Now, this is my least favourite part of the job, trying to predict or come up with some reason as to who should get the job. Normally, I think my response is no idea. I heard on the radio yesterday that potentially Michael Carrick's going to be involved in the next few months at Manchester United, but of all the ones on the list that I'm currently looking at, that would probably be the most sensible, would it not? Just because, yeah, similar age to Ryan Mason, but got really good experience in the Championship and did a good job at Middlesbrough. Nearly got them into the Premier League. What, did a couple of seasons there. He would walk into a role with good players at a good club with an idea of how he'd want his team to play immediately, and an understanding of the level that he's going into. So yeah, despite this not being my most favourite task, I think that would make a lot of sense. I can see Will Steele's name on there. I think there's a vacancy at the moment that might be better for him I'm thinking Oxford maybe for Will Steele. I don't know why, but I just think that's maybe the type of job he may land next. And I think potentially he could rebuild his reputation in this country. Sorry, I've gone off piste there. But yeah, Carrick maybe for the Baggies, and possibly Will Steele to get another gig in the Championship.
Good logic to start the new year.
Happy with that, Clarkie?
Like, yeah, I'm having that, yeah.
Well, James Morrison, it looks like, will take the FA Cup third round game at Swansea this weekend. The next league game is at home to Middlesbrough, so you've got to get Carrick in for that. The narrative simply demands it, but we shall see. Right, in lieu of a festive review, as one of his pals presumably said to King Harold at the Battle of Hastings in 1066, I'm going to ask the chaps, who caught your eye? I was so pleased with that as a joke. Remember, King Harold lost his eye in the Battle of Hastings?
Oh, I switched off, mate.
So this is just a general chat about teams that Adrian and Sam have noticed, for better or worse, over the last few weeks that we've been away. We're going to start in the Championship with the country's foremost Wrexham correspondent over the past month. That's you, Clarkie, ahead of their win against Forest in the Cup on Friday. Tell us what you've learned. You pegged them as promotion contenders on the Totally Football Show.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I think they've got a chance. I really do. Yeah, I saw three of their four Christmas games, three in a row, and they impressed me in each and every one of them. They ended up getting four wins from four. Absolute dream Christmas for them. They're a team that's full of spirit and attacking adventure. And that really was the sort of theme of those games. Obviously, I saw the game against Sheffield United, which was just nuts, really, the 5-3. But against Preston, they created a lot of chances. Against Blackburn Rovers, lots of attacking intent as well. And they just create chances. I think at the back, they can get stronger. Maybe they need, if they're going to bring in new personnel, it might be at the back. They do give up a lot of chances, but on the ball, they were much better than I thought. And I think going to a 3-4-2-1, so you've got two attacking midfielders in behind the main striker, has worked for them. And they played better football than I imagined as well. I know that they're quite direct, and at times they can be, but they can also play. They can pop the ball around. They've got good footballers in their team. Broadhead, Windass, Rathbone all impressed me as number 10s. Matty James at the base of midfield, superb, really good all-rounder. Great goal against Derby as well. So yeah, loads of positives. And they've also shown that they can cope without Kiefer Moore. Now, I watched him play against Sheffield United, unplayable. Yeah, he was unplayable on that night. Then he gets injured against Preston, and you think, that's Wrexham scuppered. But no, I mean, Sam Smith's come in and looked really good. He's held the ball up, scored some goals. So yeah, I like what I see from them. They've got good standards because they've got these promotions back to back to back. That matters, I think. You know, the dressing room is a good dressing room. Parkinson's a smart guy. And they've got a deep squad that can cope with the winter. And you can't say that about all Championship teams. You know, they can rotate as they did at Blackburn and still won easily. So I think in a wide open Championship season, Wrexham can get into the playoffs. And obviously, yeah, who knows what can happen from there. But yeah, don't write it off. They're a good team.
Yeah, they're only a point off it at the moment in ninth after four wins on the spin. And they loved the January transfer last season, didn't they? So we'll see if they bring in any more new faces. Watford are your first pick, Sam. Rightly peeved at their game at Hull being called off less than 20 minutes before kickoff on Sunday. The note that I've made here is, rehiring Javi Gracia, the best decision they've made as a club in years?
Quite possibly, yeah. It's unusual that I think from the majority of this season, the fans have been, and last season to a degree, for periods, been relatively content with what's been going on the pitch. I think certainly getting value for the money at the moment. Best team across the last six games. Loads of invention, loads of good young players. Aaron Kunda's come back into form last couple of games, assisting for the winning goal at Norwich, and again in the victory over Birmingham. That was their last defeat, actually, going back 12 games, I think, at St Andrews. Ironically, that was Birmingham's last victory until they beat Coventry the other day. So a nice little bit of symmetry there, and put to the sword by a very unlikely hat-trick hero in Tom Ince. I mean, that Enzo Maresca got sacked that day, and that wasn't the most unusual thing to happen in football. Me seeing that Tom Ince had got a treble, I was like, what year are we in? Incredible. So Yeah, some brilliantly taken goals there as well. Chakvetadze back to his best, creator in chief across the last couple of games. And they're going really well in that regard. Defensively, they're going to be tested now, or certainly they're going to have to reconfigure that back line, because Max Alain has been recalled by Manchester City due to their injury problems at centre-half. So him and Pollock have been mainstays at the heart of the defence and doing really, really well. So they're going to have to shuffle the pack a little bit. But yeah, defensively very good as well. Only four teams conceded fewer. Only the top two conceded a lower XG. I mean, this is statistics that would suggest they could be around the top six for the duration. The centre forward, actually, Kjærsgaard, still gets a little bit of criticism, but he scored seven goals, and all of them, bar I think it was the second against Middlesbrough in a comfortable win, have all been point gaining goals, if that makes any sense. So yeah, he's scoring big goals as well, not just the fourth in a comfortable victory. So yeah, loads to like about them. I wanted to just mention Marmer as well, who I presume that's how you pronounce it, but as he's listed in front of me as Mama, mm-hmm. I just wanted to say how good he's been as well. The recipient of the under 20 World Cup Player of the Tournament award. Rumours that Chelsea are casting their net potentially over Vicarage Road. No surprise there, but he's been great as well in recent weeks, scoring and assisting. So look like they've made some really, really eye-catching signs, I think, in the last 12 months.
Yeah, if Arsenal are interested, they could cast an actual net over the fence at the training ground and capture him that way. So, yeah, let's see.
Young Moroccan pulling up trees at Vicarage Road. Watford 6. There's only 5 points between Ipswich in 3rd and 10th in Bristol City, though, so very tightly concertinaed at the top. Let's head from the summit, though, to the doldrums and discuss Blackburn Rovers. 2 places and 4 points above the relegation zone. Came from 2 down to rescue a point against Charlton at Ewood on Sunday. Sort of tough to get a read on their recent form, Clarke. He's only lost one of their last 5, but they've only won one of their last 10, and they are rubbish at home.
Yeah, it's really bad. Yeah, look, some of those away draws that they've got and you know, where they kept clean sheets are really impressive, because they do have really young defenders. You know, George Pratt is one of them. Atchison came in for the Charlton game, but it's not an experienced back line. I think Lewis Miller's not that old either. So, and they had 2 fullbacks or wingbacks out of the academy in the game I saw against Wrexham as well. So a lot of youngsters being given a chance. And actually, when you look at the results, they're not doing that bad. But I have to go on what I see, what I saw in the flesh. And that was an abysmal performance against Wrexham. No spark, no real quality, very flat. The mood at Ewood Park was pretty low, I've got to say. But there was one plus, and that's Moussa Baradji, who scored the brace against Charlton. That's a cracking result, by the way, to come back from 2-0 down to draw that game. That might actually be a catalyst for them to get better. He was their best player by country mile against Wrexham, and has been injured since joining, you know, barely played. And early on in the game, I thought, he's a combative, strong midfielder, very aggressive, and he got booked early. And then he got better and better and better, and he kept driving forward, and he was the only one really that looked like scoring. And it was fascinating that Valerian Ismail put him up front for the game against Charlton, or certainly up there in and around Ahashi, and he gets the brace. So he looks like someone they can get behind, definitely, whether he plays centre forward, whether he plays at 10, whether he plays up front. He's got a bit about him. He's got some drive and strength, and he can clearly finish as well. But it's goals, isn't it? I mean, with Noga Johnson, I watched Ahashi and Henriksen run around, but basically get no quality service or not look like scoring in the whole of that match. So that's a problem. Maktar Gaye is banished. I think he's had a bit of a fallout with the manager, so he's not going to use him either. So yeah, it's not good times at Blackburn Rovers. Now, I think looking at their team, looking at the performance that I saw, that they're definitely in the battle at the bottom, and they could get dragged in.
Certainly looks that way. Moussa Baradji, by the way, not somebody I was familiar with, so I've just looked him up. I have never heard of any of his previous clubs. Altamura and Legnago in Italy, and he's on loan from Yverdon in Switzerland.
Yeah, no idea.
Yeah.
It looks all right. Could be a good pickup.
Yeah, I've heard of Blackburn. And he looks good for them. Millwall, Sam's former loan home, up next. Terrifying manager Alex Neil has the Lions roaring away in fifth place. Who'd win in a fight, Neil or an actual Lion, I wonder? Don't answer that, Sam. Tell me something about Millwall that I don't know. Four unbeaten after back-to-back defeats pre-Christmas. Going to fancy their chances of a cup set this weekend as well, aren't they, at Burnley?
Yeah, I would imagine so. Tell you something that you don't know. I've got a little, you know, I like to throw a little quiz question your way. So I've got one coming up in a minute on Femi Aziz, if you want to do some swatting up. the squad's a lot stronger, Matthew, this season. And I think that is showing that they can deal with one or two injuries to big players because the squad depth is better. It's actually his changes, I think, that bear fruit the other day. Doughty making the winning goal for Caleb Taylor, who's been a bit of a revelation. The perfect possible heir to the throne of Jake Cooper when they decide he can no longer keep churning out season after season. I think he's only 30, actually, Jake Cooper, but Taylor's been a revelation, and he scored the winning goal past possibly the best goalkeeping display of the season in Lawrence Vigouroux in that game. He was unbelievable. If you've not seen the highlights, he made about five or six incredible saves for Swansea. So that 3 points probably should have been cemented long before Taylor scored last few minutes. 12 goals scored in the last 20 minutes. Only Coventry and Ipswich have scored more than that. So that fight evident in those statistics, but also those late winning goals over Christmas against Bristol City and against Swansea latterly. Two great points against Ipswich and Southampton. So that's been a really tough run of games. So to secure 8 points, that's some going. On to Aziz. Okay, he started 13 games for Millwall. They currently have 43 points. How many points have they accrued in the games of which he started? He started half the 26 games.
Oh.
13 games with Aziz in the starting lineup. Someone will pull me up here because I did this very, very quickly with a pen and a notepad this morning. Just wanted to have a look at it.
19.
Okay. 2 points a game, 26.
30 points. Ooh. With Femi Aziz in the team. 9 wins, 3 draws, 2 defeats. Just 13 points and 3 wins in the games where he hasn't started. So he's been nursing a bit of an injury along with a few others, but obviously he was back for the recent win. I think that just shows his importance, doesn't it, basically? But they're in a really good place. This I've nicked from somewhere as well, but I loved it. Goal difference of -4 currently. Sitting, where are they? Joint fourth. This stage last year, after 26 games, a goal difference of +1, but 13 points fewer.
There you go. Huddersfield all those years ago when they got promoted, didn't they? Were they either a negative or a nought goal difference? Well, that's surprising, Sam, because I thought you were going to ask me something about Femi Aziz's 3-game loan spell at Hamwell Town back in the 18-19 season, because I imagine that's probably not too far from you.
Good knowledge, mate. It's the outskirts of Ealing, I believe. Peter Crouch territory.
Okay. We have one more championship side from each of you to talk about. Clarkie, you were at the Riverside Sunday to see Borough bounce back a 4-0 win against Southampton, but you didn't see that coming, given they hadn't scored in their previous four games.
Yeah, no. But they had been creating chances in all of those matches. Funnily enough, so I think it was coming. I had a look this morning. They had between 18 and 28 shots in 5 of their last 8 games. So, you know, they've been racking up 20-odd shots on a consistent basis, but not scoring. And that was the story of the first half against Southampton. It was an end-to-end game. It was a fantastic watch. But neither team brought their shooting boots. But in the second half, Middlesbrough dug them out of the back cupboard or something, and they suddenly began to find the back of the net. And you do wonder what that kind of win might do for their confidence. I mean, 4-0 against Southampton is very impressive. And I'm not exaggerating. They could have scored 8 to 10 goals easily in the game. There's some pretty bad misses in there. So Southampton, woeful defensively without the ball, or just awful. But Borough are good. Trust me, They're a good possession team. So I think they average almost 60% of the ball, one of the highest in the league. They pop it around really nicely. And what I love about them under Kim Hellberg is the adventure. They're proper buccaneering. They play these little triangles and then they'll throw, one of their two midfielders forward, the number 10, Whittaker, will go and do bits, and the wingers are forward. They play risky football. You know, they don't leave many men back. So they are vulnerable to counters, but boy, are they kind of committed to trying to score goals. And if they had finishers, you know, but Bergzorg, bless him, and Conway worked really hard for the team, played well in the game, but it just don't look like scoring. You know, if they had a couple of finishes in there, I'm thinking if I'm a youngster looking for a loan or a player out of favour, a striker looking for a loan, go to Borough, because they'll give you chances. They will put chances on the plate for you, and you can maybe get yourselves 10 goals between now and the end of the season. So yeah, it was really good. And the other plus for them, I think, despite that result, was the debut of the centre-back, Adilson Melander, who I think they signed quite a while ago, and then he went back to the USA. Is it Charlotte that he played for? It was one of the MLS teams. And he made his first start for Borough in this game, and he was perfect. Did superbly. Looked really good on the ball. Read it well. Looked a player. And they haven't got many centre-halves fit at the moment, Borough. So Melander's arrival or emergence could be great news, I think, for Hellberg. So, yeah, good team. Yeah, five big chances they created in each of their last two games. In one of them, they scored a big fat zero. In the other, they scored four. So, yeah, that's football sometimes, I guess.
My only other note on Middlesbrough over the past month or so was nominative determinism's Hayden Hackney with that incredible challenge that he didn't get sent off.
It's a disgrace, wasn't it? I don't know how he didn't get a red. I should have mentioned Hackney. Hackney and Morris, everywhere. Literally everywhere. They defend well, and then when they've got the ball, one of them, it's the old fashioned way, like when me and Sam played, one central midfielder goes and joins in, the other one sits, and they take turns at doing it. So yeah, I think, yeah, I don't think they'll get top two, because they are a bit shaky sort of at the back, but not shaky, that's the wrong word, but they give you chances, I think, on the break. But yeah, if they can find a finisher, that they might even sneak into top two.
Well, they are there at the moment, 2 points clear of Ipswich. We'll wait and see if they can hold on to it. How Norwich would love to have such an issue. A season of tumult at Carrow Road. The Canaries currently in the Championship relegation zone, which is amazing to me, Sam. I know they've been bad all season. They have won three of their last six. But again, like with Blackburn, I mean, the home form has just totally hamstrung them this season, it seems, despite the change of manager, which has had a bit of an uptick.
Yeah, and probably, you know, Portsmouth's decent festive period has just made reality strike, I suppose, for the Norwich fans, who absolutely will be feeling a hell of a lot better than they were 6 weeks or so ago, because the upturn has absolutely been evident to me in maybe not so much the points return across the last few games, but the defensive numbers, that's clear as day. I think, yeah, it's 1.36 points per game from Clermont's 11. They were running at 0.6 per game under Manning in the opening 15 games. So there has been a vast improvement in terms of points. But yeah, last seven games conceded seven. The previous seven, double that, 14 had gone into their net. So he's made them better in that regard. It's creativity, isn't it? And I think the ability to try and get McCarmer and Sargent into the side, how's that going to work best? McCarmer played wide, I think, and Sargent, five of his seven goals came in August. So he's been, you know, hugely disappointed in the goal scoring terms when you consider what we imagine him to bring, to just be such a regular source of goals for, I would presume any decent team in the Championship. So he's been a little bit off colour. Maybe that's partly because he doesn't know where his future's going to lie. There's always interest in Josh Sargent in every window.
Interest in Sargent, you might say.
Yes, very good, very good. From West Ham United, that feels about right, doesn't it? Mm. Is that always? Yeah, that's about right, isn't it? 10 home defeats, you mentioned there, Matt. The last two, one shot on target, most recently against Stoke,
and one shot on target against Watford in that 1-0 home defeat. So was it Barry Fry who weed in every corner of the St Andrews or something like that? Don't know who it was. It's got to be Barry Fry or Ian Holloway. He could do with something like that going on at Carrow Road, because this is just so out of keeping with what they've always been at the Championship, which is free scoring and really exciting at Carrow Road and one of the hardest places to go. So he's done well. Steadying the ship, improving them defensively. But I suppose the squad already has quite a number of new signings from the summer that haven't really hit the ground running. Are they going to go into the market again? I would suggest they probably do need to recruit a couple in the attacking areas to try and pull themselves away from the bottom.
That might be another cup set this weekend then. Walsall going to Carrow Road in round 3 of the FA Cup. Okay, League One next for us. Maybe for Norwich too. Now, on the banks of Sinsel is where you'll find Lincoln City, the Imps, second in League One as it stands, unbeaten in 8 after thrashing Posh at the weekend. Clarky, I had a look at this because they're obviously in a position where they might get promoted. Last time they played in the second tier, 1961.
I didn't think I could remember it, so that'll explain why. Yeah, and they're capable, and you know, it's a club, you know, it's not a tiny club. They're definitely capable of playing at that level. And when Sinsel Bank is full, and it's full a lot at the moment, it's quite an intimidating place for opponents to play. And yeah, they're starting to believe, aren't they? I mean, they went one down against Peterborough and then end up winning 5-2. So lots going their way. I think Michael Scubala, wasn't he linked with the West Brom job that you mentioned earlier on? Not surprising, really. He's doing terrifically, isn't he?
Let me ask you this, Clarkie.
Go on.
If West Brom come in for him and you're Michael Scubala, what do you do? And if Oxford come in for you and you're Michael Scubala, what's your thought process?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's hard to turn down West Brom, I'd imagine. If you're Lincoln City manager, it is a big old step up. I don't think West Brom would go down. It would mean a change of style for Baggies fans, I think. Don't know whether they would love it. You know, he's a bit more direct, isn't he? He's a little bit more industrial than Ryan Mason. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't think I'd be tempted by Oxford. I think
that's West the Brom, correct answer. I was just trying to wind up some Oxford fans.
Right, OK, I'll shut up about that. No, they're a good team. Powerful, great in the air. Most set piece goals, best conversion rate in League One. So you've got to take that into consideration. They're scoring lots, but their finishing has been, I don't know, maybe abnormally high or abnormally sharp. So something to consider for the second half of the season. But yeah, they're a bit old school, you know, low possession. I think they've got the lowest on average in League One. But when they win it, they come at you hard and they come at you fast and powerfully, and they've got good experienced players as well. You know, Adam Reach is in brilliant form at the moment, which is nice to see because his career's sort of plateaued a bit. He scored a worldie at Barnsley. Sonny Bradley's looking like a great pickup, isn't he? Dariqua is another strong player that's got plenty of experience. Rico Hackett, who's been around a while now, in good form. 5 in his last 8. So look, it's all starting to click. And you look at the teams they beat over Christmas, by the way. 4 wins in the draw, scored 10 goals in the last 4. They beat Cardiff, they beat in-form Peterborough, they've won at Barnsley, they've beaten Stockport, and the only one they dropped points against was Huddersfield, which they drew, and they're in good form. So yeah, they're looking good. And once they get in front, they don't give you much, Lincoln. From 1-0 up, 13 wins, 3 draws, no defeats. So yeah, they've got energy, purpose, power, and loads of confidence at the moment. So yeah, they're that sort of team that are just on a roll. Not the most talented team, not the most beautiful on the eye, but they are. They've got something about them. The wind is at their backs. So don't write it off. They could reach the Championship.
They go to Exeter this weekend. Huddersfield have found things a bit of a slog for a team that sits in fourth. Lee Grant said he was about as angry as he'd been after the Terriers conceded a late equaliser against Exeter on Sunday. Unbeaten in 7, Sam, which I guess has eased the pressure on him. We've given the owner a bit of stick over the last year or so. Probably deserve a bit of praise for not binning Grant during that 5-match losing run they had earlier in this season.
Yeah, the pressure will have eased, but there's still quite a lot of criticism coming his way. Lee Grant, possibly that's the pre-season expectation, the gap that's obviously still evident at the top of League One. They're quite a few points off automatic, and with the amount of players they brought in, the support was just anticipated. A season where they were going to be jostling right up there. So, yeah, still getting a little bit of criticism. Surprisingly, for me this morning, actually doing a little bit of reading and looking at the highlights of the most recent games, the upturn has coincided with a change of shape. They've been a kind of 3-5-2 since they went on this unbeaten run. Radulovic is absolutely on fire, the centre forward. He's got 4 goals, 2 assists in the last 5, partnering Alfie May. So they've gone to those two as a combination. May's finding goals harder to come by, but he's still notched in this little run. Castledine, obviously, he's having an unbelievable time. He's 8 goals in 10, and him and Harness are kind of playing as 2 dual 8s or 10. So he's reconfigured the side, which he deserves credit for. And I don't think, you know, despite early part of the season, I was, you know, thinking they were going to be, you know, possession at all costs type of side. And even in the cup tie, I saw them against Manchester City. That was the sentiment I kind of left with. But possession's really down recently. And I don't know if this is a tactic, if it's coincided with this change of shape. Maybe when you've got a big centre forward, there is that ability to go slightly longer and miss out a pass or two. And Harness and Castledine obviously getting in the box with legs. But yeah, possession really down last few games. Certainly was higher in the early stages of the season. But yeah, I mean, they should have won that game against Exeter. If you haven't seen it, watch the highlights, because Reece Cole, he's a lovely footballer, Reece Cole, actually. Saw him in the Devon Derby against Plymouth Argyle, score a lovely goal. He scores an absolute worldie. And then Jaden Wareham has scored one of those flicks, so a right wing cross, which is behind him. It's got to be about 10 yards from goal, penalty spot maybe, near post, and he flicks it and it just trickles into the far side beyond Lee Nichols, who maybe could have done better. But it's 2 absolute worldies. So yeah, League One will be disappointed that they've surrendered, obviously, an advantage at home in a game they should have won. But the reality was 2 incredible goals to get the Grecians a point. So yeah, improvement at Huddersfield, but yeah, close but no cigar yet, I don't think, for Lee Grant. I still think the natives yet to be won over fully.
Big game for him and his team on Saturday. They're at Stockport, who they are level on points with. Let's do some reading into Reading, shall we? One of the many clubs who've changed manager during this season. How's it looking for Liam then, Clarkie? We were thinking it was all about stability this season after the turmoil, but maybe they can think a little bigger than that.
Maybe, yeah, it's heading in the right direction, isn't it? They're climbing the league, doing a good job, Liam Richardson. I think we all know he's a really steady manager that tends to do pretty well if you give him enough time. The performances haven't been spectacular. I don't think Reading fans are like, wow, this is amazing, I'm loving watching this. I don't think it's always been fun football or full of dashing adventure a la Middlesbrough. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's a little bit more functional, but they're getting the job done. 24 points from the last 12 games. 2 a game is what gets you into the playoffs at least. 7 wins in those 12 games. Across that period, and 12 matches is a lengthy spell, only one team's got more points than them, and that's Cardiff City. So, got to say that they're absolutely flying. The basis of the run is good defending. They've only, there's lots of clean sheets, lots of ones in the goals against column. Very rarely a 2 against. And actually, they haven't conceded more than 2 in a game since the middle of September now. So really tight. I think the biggest thing I noticed for Reading, and I saw them a lot in the flesh last year, is they're older. They had a really young team before. Some of those players have gone on to sort of bigger and better things. And what they've done is they've actually bought players or brought in players of experience, and they're making a bit of a difference. Jack Marriott's a great example, leading the line. You know what you're going to get with him. He'll score your goals. He'll work his nuts off every single game for you, Jack Marriott. You just got to keep him fit, haven't you? Lewis Wing's not getting any younger. Derek Williams has been really good at the back for them. Andy Yeardham as well, bit of a veteran. They're all mainstays in the team for Liam Richardson. So yeah, nice balanced style. Not brilliant to watch, but they're getting results. Yeah, the left wingers looks all right as well. Daniel Kiaroa. I don't know how to say that. Sorry.
Want me to tell you, Clarkie, because I've done him twice recently.
Go on.
Chihuahua. Like chia seeds. Don't ask me how or why, but there you go.
Chihuahua. Yeah, I didn't know that. Yeah, he's doing all right as well. In new face on the left wing from German football. Not the biggest, is he? But he gets up and down, I think, on the left. So, yeah, it's all going well for Reading, but I think the fans probably hoping for a bit more entertainment moving forward. Let's see.
Yeah, I've quite enjoyed them because I've seen them twice recently, and I think... Yeah, we probably criticised Liam Richardson a little bit despite the incredibly difficult challenge he had at Rotherham during that Championship relegation season when he obviously came in quite late in the day. But I've enjoyed watching them. There's some quite interesting little tactical quirks. They kind of build in the three, likes inverting one of the wingers actually kind of becomes a 10. And I think we've got the platform to do it here. Somebody do me the greatest 20 of Lewis Wing's goals in a little, do you know what I mean? A little video. I saw the Leo Castledine one doing the rounds the other day. Somebody do me the Lewis Wing. And I've done him a disservice there because it could be 30, 40, couldn't it?
I've seen him score from outside the box. It feels like every time I've watched him play, he has a lot of shots from range, doesn't he? But a lot of them do go in. I mean,
bizarrely, Old Savage has notched two or three absolute worldies this year as well. So you got two in that central midfield axis, both capable of letting fly with either foot. Old Savage, Charlie Savage, he can notch with his weaker right side as well.
All right, looking good for Reading then, potentially heading into 2026. Just pleased, I'm sure, that there's not so much noise around them. But as we say, maybe higher ambitions than just stability. Last stop in League One up in Yorkshire, where the Bantams of Bradford reside. They're having a great time back in Tier 2, so much so they might only stay for one season. They are third, 2 points behind second place Lincoln, but they've got a game in hand on them. Had a look at Graham Alexander's record, Sam, because it feels like he's bounced around for a few years now in the EFL. He's averaging 1.72 points per game at Bradford, which is his best record as a manager. 123 games in charge. Most he's been in charge with Team 4 was 145 at Fleetwood. So this is going to be his longest tenure too, you would expect. Has he finally found a home?
It looks that way. Yeah, it's been a great appointment because they struggled for so many a year to get out, obviously, League Two. Me and Clarkie did a bit on the radio the other day, and I just thought, I've got to look at Bradford across the last 12 months or 18 months because the form's been so good. And 19 wins from 24 at home in 2025. And for so often kind of bemoaned the ability to get it going at Valley Parade. Well, they've done that and some. So that's a big strength of theirs. I think stepping up a division to be sitting third, and I butchered this a few moments ago, there's 7 points above Huddersfield currently in third. Opportunity to obviously get at Lincoln in the coming weeks. I know there's going to be some teams probably coming from deep in League One who'll fancy that second automatic position, but what a brilliant year they've had to go up automatically, to add some quality for this season. Nerville was obviously always going to be someone who would make that step naturally, given how good he was at Wimbledon. He's been great. Toure, who's featured heavily on the podcast over the years from Stockport, he's been a bit of a revelation as well at left wing back or left-sided centre-half. Similarities from last year in that Cook has been missing for the majority. Obviously, he's had a few knock-on little injuries after his knee injury, and I think he was ill recently. So they've had to be reliant on the likes of Poynton and Sarsavic still, who actually, Clarkie, he made my team of the year, my EFL team of the year, Sarsavic, because he scored that goal, didn't he? I think it was an own goal, but he wheeled off anyway to get them promoted. And he's got 7 already this year. And just like 5, I think he's had 5 or is it 7 promotions. I mean, that's just unbelievable. You stick him in your team and you've got a great chance. I think he's an incredible leader. Obviously, the nous that he brings, having been promoted so many times. So in the absence of a kind of out-and-out goal scorer, I think Swan could maybe be that in the second half of the season. He scored the important second the other day in their win at Blackpool. The midfield support players, the tens, are so imperative to Graham Alexander, and Sarsavic is the main one on that. So whether they've got enough to match the top two.
They have a budget though, Sam.
Yeah.
Because, you know, think they're making some money, aren't they, through the gate. You know, they would be in a position, I think, to maybe speculate a bit now, more than a Lincoln. You know, I see great parallels between them and Lincoln for obvious reasons, but I don't know if a Lincoln had got the budget of a Bradford. Let's see. Yeah.
And all those teams would be, well, obviously Cardiff have been there and been in the Premier League, but like, it'd be great to see Lincoln in the Championship. It'd be great to see Bradford back as well.
Definitely.
Because one of my favourite places to probably go and cover games, and absolutely was one of the best grounds to go and play at.
Rotherham at home, you'd expect them to win that at the weekend, albeit, I guess it's a derby, isn't it? But after that, they've got Cardiff, Huddersfield and Lincoln in successive games. So we'll see where they are after that little run. Where we are next is in League Two. And Adrian has plumped for the EFL's basement dwellers. Harrogate, so bad, they're even below Newport. They ain't going to change the gaffer, so how are they going to get out of this mess?
I don't know. I don't think they are, unfortunately. I just thought we should probably mention them because it's going so badly. You know, I've not seen them in the flesh myself, unfortunately, but, you know, the numbers are really bad. I mean, they've only scored 18 goals. That's the worst in the division. Is that unlucky? No. They've had the fewest shots. And then you look at the other end of the pitch, they've faced the most shots. They've got the worst expected goals against. So at both ends of the pitch, they're, you know, struggling. They're aggressive. We know that. You know, they're hostile. They'll get about you. They'll crunch into tackles. They'll defend their box resolutely. Is it enough? You know, and obviously the home pitch was always a bit of a, you know, not that was their, that was their banker. They'd always win enough games at home to get the job done, but it's not happening. Six home games now without scoring. Not one full stop since the 27th of September. And yeah, Christmas was a disaster. Four losses, didn't score. Yeah. I mean, they've scored four goals in 12 games. Don't know what they're going to do. Looked at the makeup of their squad as well, and I got to say, it's old. And I don't know whether that's a deliberate thing from Simon Weaver or not, but they've got eight over 30s in their squad that have played this season. And only four of the 26 players that have had minutes this season, and one of those has had literally 1 minute. So practically three of 25 players are 22 or under. So they really don't have that core of young players involved in the first team squad that I think give you a lot of energy. So yeah, it's not looking good for Harrogate. I thought Newport were nailed on to finish bottom, but yeah, maybe not.
No, they have been punching for a couple of years, haven't they, I suppose, for the size of the club. Sam's pick from League Two, Cambridge United, currently sixth in the standings, only a couple of points off the automatic promotion places. I'll let you tell me about them on the pitch, Sam, shortly. But I went on their website this morning. The main article is a supporter survey asking for information on how fans feel at the halfway point of the season. It's really detailed. Loads of stuff like what the match day experience is like, how safe you feel in the stadium, and to what extent do you feel positively about the direction that the club is headed in as a whole. For some reason, that just really stood out to me. And I think it's because very, very few clubs actually show any interest in what their supporters think about it. So that was quite a good thing to do, and something we maybe should see a bit more of.
Yeah, you're speaking to your wrong guest here, mate, because we know Clarkey. That's one of his teams, isn't it? The Views.
Come on, you Clarkey's
team. Do you know Dion Dublin is a director as well?
I did know that. I heard that.
As is a chap
recently.
Called Renford Sargent, who I know nothing about, but I just wanted to say his name.
Any relation to Josh?
Maybe, yeah.
Not too far away. I'm surprised when I saw Harrogate on the running order from Clark. I thought he'd be all in here. I mean, what a run. 10 games unbeaten, 5 draws. Granted, but 5 wins, 6 clean sheets, conceded 4. Yeah, it's an incredible time to be a Cambridge United fan. And I thought it was only right we flagged them. By the way, Atkinson Stanley are the form side in the division, who absolutely deserve a mention here because they've taken some scalps themselves. But Cambridge beat Walsall in third, comfortably as well, 2-0, taking 4 points off Chesterfield in seventh across the last month. There was that fixture, obviously, where you played the same team in quite quick succession. Drew with MK, drew with Gillingham, who, granted, they're in the bottom half at the moment, but good side, good squad. Incredible times. If you take one thing from the stuff I've waffled about this morning, Matt Clarkey, a chap called Ben Knight, who was playing for Real Murcia not too long ago, he's a Cambridge boy. I think he was at Manchester City. Sorry, I haven't got all his credentials written down in front of me. But he gets the brace against Walsall, and in the 60th minute, he has the best overhead kick attempt I've ever seen in my life. cross from the left-hand side. It's like the old, it's like a Mark Falco. That's a great QPR's 90s reference for you, but it's like an acrobatic volley and it crashes off the bar, in which would have been his hat trick. It's sensational. I'm so disappointed for him that he didn't go in, but he's kind of started to play a bit more regularly, be drip fed in. I think he's got 3 goals, which in fact puts him level with Cambridge's top goal scorer this season. So that just shows you it's a real team effort. They haven't got someone to heavily rely on to get them the goals, but it's all about them. You know, defensively, the goalkeeper saved the penalty against Walsall. Jake Eastwood, he's been outstanding. Joint most clean sheets. I think it's the lowest XG against. They're giving up very few opportunities, so they don't need much going the other way to get them over the line in fixtures, because defensively they're superb. I think, and I couldn't find the figures I require to say it with any certainty, but I think the average age is probably quite down in that Cambridge squad. I've always thought of it as being a really old team, if you like. Of course, when Michael Morrison's playing, it probably shoots up a little bit. I can say that. I had a steak with him, if you remember, not so long ago. But yeah, they got a few younger lads across the 11 now, which I think is probably maybe a slight change in tack between Mark Bonner and Neil Harris. But I mean, if they were to get in the playoffs, what an achievement that would be. So it's a brilliant, brilliant time for them at the moment.
They've got two good people at the helm, haven't they?
They have.
You know, they know their stuff. And Ben Knight, yeah, by the way, from Cambridge, was brought up at Ipswich. So he went through the academy at Ipswich, did really well for them, got sort of bought by Manchester City towards the end of that. And then, of course, disappeared into the Man City sort of ether as just one of many, many bodies. So no, it's good to see him bouncing back, playing for his local club as well and doing the biz. Love it.
Yeah. Just to double down, only Bromley have lost fewer games. I mean, you know, we're into January now. Mm. That just shows you how difficult they are to beat. And yeah, what an outstanding time that the two marks, Neil and Mark Bonner are having.
Yeah, could have been awkward that, couldn't it? The old switcheroo and the ex-manager now been in charge of the new manager, but seems to be working. And another team you might fancy their chances of causing a cup upset this weekend, they host Birmingham, who one imagines will be rotated quite a lot for that one. Speaking of the FA Cup, that's going to be the focus of our predictions. So our last ones were from ages ago. Adrian got 2 points, Sam and I blanked. So he's still ahead, Clarkey, by quite a margin.
Well, it had tightened up a bit, but yeah, I sort of needed that just to get a bit of breathing space. I'm on 40 points, Sam's on 33, and Matt, you're on 29. So look, it's all to play for.
As we go into 2026 and an FA Cup special, and it is special because I've done all the games featuring the teams that the three of us support or are most closely linked with. So what I think we'll do is, if it's your team, you get to go first. So I'll kick us off. Wrexham Forest on Friday night at the Racecourse. Easiest one of the lot, this. 2-0 Wrexham. Clarkey?
Good to see the confidence flooding out of you. I think Wrexham will score 2, but I don't think they'll keep a clean sheet. No chance. Wrexham 2, Forest 2. This one's going to Pens.
Oh, dear. Sam, what do you reckon?
He's left it beautifully for me to mirror what they did to the Gooners once upon a time. Wrexham 2, Forest 1. Mickey Thomas with a rocket. And I'll give you £50, English pounds, if you can tell me the other Wrexham goal scorer from that day, because I can see him. But I can't name him.
I knew it was Mickey Thomas. That's I can the see famous the goal. One, isn't it? Wrexham Lager on the front of the
he
shirt.
He swivels a little bit, doesn't he? About 9 yards out, right-hand side of the six-yard box, swivels, maybe goes through someone's legs.
92nd beat first that day, didn't they? That's done that very often. Right, by the way, I don't want to give away trade secrets, but at the Racecourse ground, the internet password, yeah, it's Mickey Thomas.
But I think I knew that. Yeah.
In obviously they've got a few rogue numbers in there and stuff. But he's still dining out on it all these years.
This geezer was prolific. Steve Watkin.
Yeah.
60 odd goals for Wrexham, 200 appearances, and pretty much a similar record for Swansea as well.
Those were the days. A strong Arsenal team as well. Seaman, Dixon, Winterburn, O'Leary, Adams, yeah, Alan Smith, Kev Campbell, Paul Merson, all playing. Where are we going next? We are going to Sam's Queen's Park Rangers, who are at West Ham. I mean, this could be anything. What do you reckon, Sam?
I think, having sat through what strangely was like the most disappointing 3-0 home victory you'll ever see in the Championship. Both teams were so bad. QPR against Sheffield Wednesday, this is I'm referring to. It was such a weird game, lit up by three brilliant goals. And had QPR been able to keep Romain Borrell fit, I think I'd have given them a chance here at West Ham. However, he's going to be out injured now. He's something else. 10 goals already for him. I'm going 1-0 West Ham.
Okay. What do you reckon, Adrian?
2-1 West Ham. Yeah, I'm going off what Sam said he saw from Rangers, and he wasn't that impressed, was he? So I think West Ham reserves might just have enough to get there.
0-0. Nuno's last stand. Your first go here, Clarkie. Portsmouth against your Arsenal. Interesting one.
Yeah, it's difficult. Obviously, Fratton Park's got that factor, hasn't it? It won't be easy. But Arsenal's squad is so deep now. It's ridiculous. And if they rotate and they're going to rotate, I don't know, they can make 11 changes and it's still a real quality team. So I think they'll have too much. And I'm going to go for Portsmouth 0, Arsenal 3.
Sam?
Yeah, I'll just soften the stance a little and go for the 2-0 win. I think, yeah, they'll have too much. And tough, I think, sometimes when you're so focused on the league campaign and it's pivotal that Portsmouth try and pull themselves away. So I think Arsenal have too much.
I'm going to give Pompey a goal and say it'll be 3-1 to Arsenal. Nearly done for the day. Let me remind you again of the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can get 50% back up to £25. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £25, minimum three bets. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18+, and for new UK customers only. Visit gamblerware.org for information on responsible gambling. If you'd like to leave us a nice review, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your pods, it all helps people find the podcast easier, and we would appreciate it very much. We shall finish, as we always do, with Tweet of the Week. This one comes from Lewis Dobbin, who's been in fine form of late, as have his Preston North End. This was after their win at Bristol City. Four pictures he's attached with it. He's tagged the club in as well. He says, 3 points and a goal on the road. The perfect birthday gift. Present emoji, white heart emoji. Sam, it's often an exercise in fishing, this, from players, but we don't often see somebody seeking out birthday wishes. Nice to have a little twist on the theme.
Yeah, we don't, do we? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt and just, you know, suggest that maybe just someone who loves his birthday. I like my birthday. I always have a party still into my 40s, so maybe he's that way inclined. One thing's not in doubt, he's having an unbelievable season, isn't he? I just looked there, he's nearly clocked up 100 loan games, I think. He's got to be like the original lone star, hasn't he, really, of recent times. Loves it. And kind of passed me by that he'd gone from Everton to Villa. I still thought he was notching against Chelsea, was it, once upon a time at Goodison Park. So I don't mind it. And I love the first reply, "You are sensational, mate, with a white heart." The next one's got a little bit of swearing in it, but basically the sentiment remains the same throughout. He is absolutely on fire. So I'm going to let him have his moment in the sun.
Yeah, I was nonplussed by Seamus.madnesspne. or at rumbugger1's reply, which was thumbs up emoji, football emoji, two applause emojis, cake emoji. Just put a couple of words in as well. Clark, anything to add on this piece of social media output from the young man?
No, he needs... Look, you only get one birthday a year, and if you notch on it and win, then shout about it. I'm all right with it. And I like the four pictures. They're four good pictures. And I've noticed he likes a bit of self-PR. A lot of his retweets are of his best bits and stuff like that. But look, sometimes you got to sell yourself, haven't you? So, yeah, good luck to him.
Clarky, like me, I bet if we went back over your career, you never notched on your birthday. You're just thinking about the night out. That's definitely what my record would read.
All about the night out. And look, hopefully he went out and got obliterated. Yeah, good luck to you, Lewis. Yeah.
Paul Heckingbottom did not endorse that comment. All right, that's how we'll leave things for today. We'll be back with another show next week. Thanks to Adrian and to Sam and to you for listening. For now, it's goodbye.